A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, concentrate on Sin. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar.
That's the display department.
With a torch.
The light's probably gone.
So had the stairs.
You are just number six.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 502. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and this time we are talking about The Borrowers. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. Hello.
We are discussing a BBC television film adaptation of Mary Norton's children's classic, The Borrowers. This version is a 90-minute production that was broadcast around Christmas time of 2011. And this is more fun with tiny people that use the term borrowing for taking items from normal full-sized humans to use them for themselves.
It is indeed. And you probably instantly have an idea what this is going to be about from the title, The Borrowers. And I always say this, Brian, but I do get very excited about the cast for some of the shows we cover, and we've got a great cast to talk about on this production.
There are some interesting people in this one, for sure.
So the setup. We start in not unfamiliar territory with a young boy staying with his grandmother while he is dealing with the fairly recent death of his mother. He's going through a difficult time. His grandmother is going through a difficult time, not least because she believes that there are tiny people living in her house and that these tiny people are stealing from her. And she is quite worked up about this.
And her theory is shared and backed up by this high-profile university professor. But everyone else finds this professor's ideas are ludicrous and doesn't believe them at all. And of course, there is a boy who will discover that there are indeed these tiny people called borrowers, and that they are living beneath the floorboards. And he will then work to protect them from the humans who are hunting them.
And we're off in somewhat familiar borrower territory.
Yes, we are. And we have, of course, covered a different version of the borrowers in the past, but we're looking at this one from 2011 now.
So our characters, let's start with the grandmother, Mrs. Driver, played by legendary British television comedian Victoria Wood. She is the owner of the house. She is the boy's grandmother, and she is paranoid about little people who are stealing her stuff. And this is a source of humour for her family, who think, of course, this is quite ridiculous. But there she is. She's much more that she believes in little people than the boy, to begin with.
Yes. James, played by Charlie Hiscock from Ted Lasso, is living with his grandmother while his dad is looking for work and trying to keep the family together. And he is a sort of sad, lonely child who will befriend the borrowers.
He is indeed. And of course, that point of friendship is going to be with Arietti Clock, played by Aislinn Loftus. She is the teenage daughter of the borrower's family, perhaps slightly older than this particular version of the borrowers. But like in all versions, she is a determined young woman who is fascinated by the world of borrowing. She's fascinated by the world of the beans, the giant humans, and she wants to get out there and start adventuring in borrowing, something that her family are not that keen on.
That's right. She wants to see the outside world beyond where she's living. Pod Clock, played by Christopher Eccleston, who was the Ninth Doctor, of course, and this is our first time covering him in a non-Doctor Who context. He is Arietti's father and the head borrower of the group. He is the one in the family who goes out and borrows things. And he is very determined. He has some mystery in his past. And in particular, he has some reason why he doesn't want this family, the Clocks, to interact with other borrowers.
Yes, rather strange. which we will get to that as we go along. But yes, he does seem to want to keep them just to themselves. He is, of course, matched by Homily Clock, played by Sharon Horgan, Arietti's mom, also quite resistant to the idea of Arietti venturing into the world of these giant beans, as they keep calling them, mainly just because she's concerned about Arietti, that, you know, Arietti's going to get into trouble. She's pretty concerned about Pod getting into trouble right from the start in the opening sequence. So she has quite a lot to be worried about.
Yes, the two of them, the couple, Pod and Homily, are very much of the sort of conservative idea that you should never interact with these human beings, and it is much too dangerous to do so. Professor Mildeye, played by none other than Stephen Fry, is a lecturer in zoology at a London university and is somewhat controversial for his belief that there is a Homo sapien reductus species or subspecies that are miniature humans.
Yes, a figure of some fun, but who becomes convinced that he can prove his theories if he can get hold of an actual borrower.
Yes, absolutely.
And to complete our sort of cast of main characters, Spiller, the teenage tearaway borrower who agrees to guide the Clock family to safety, who is somewhat of a foil for Arietti. You know, without giving too much away, the Clocks are forced to leave their home and they need a guide in the outside world. And Spiller takes on that role. And he is played by Robert Sheehan, who we remember from Misfits, you know, when he was another teenage tearaway character. Here he is again in 2011 doing it in The Borrowers.
Yes, very memorable for doing those types of roles.
So let's go initially below the floorboards of Mrs. Driver's house and find the Clocks. It's sort of, the story seems to start in the way that we used to from, you know, The Borrowers, with the idea that Arietti is adventuring out into the world of the beans and that she will encounter the slightly sad and lonely boy, James, and they'll become friends. And of course, that all happens in this version, and their friendship is important. It's going to be important for both of them as the plot progresses. But things don't necessarily follow the predicted path from there, Brian.
That's right. In this version, we have Mrs. Driver going to Professor Mildeye with the news that there are tiny people living in her house. So we have Professor Mildeye and his assistant setting out to trap and study and maybe even dissect the borrowers. And this is what forces the Clocks out of their home and to the wider community of borrowers.
Indeed, they are on the run, and there are traps to avoid or not to avoid. There is capture, there is escape. There's a certain degree of recapture and escape as they try to avoid the professor's clutches. He and his assistant are after them, and it's all going to get quite scary and dangerous for the Clock family.
Yes, indeed.
So, production notes time. This is, of course, based on the novel of the same name, The Borrowers by Mary Norton, published in 1952, and an endlessly popular series of novels that have been adapted for the screen. Well, we were talking about this before, Brian. We're going to say quite a few times.
Yes, there are a number of adaptations of this for film and TV, and we're not going to reference all of them.
You may remember the 1997 Hollywood film version with John Goodman playing one of the bad guys. Jim Broadbent's in that. Hugh Laurie's in that. There's a terrific cast on that one as well. But we've also encountered The Borrowers before.
Yes, we covered the BBC serialized version and its sequel. Those were from 1992 and 1993. They started in home as Pod Clock. And we covered those in British Invaders 459 and 460. Now, this 2011 version was commissioned for the BBC by Ben Stephenson, who thought it was time for a bold contemporary version of the children's classic. And they went to Working Title Films, who adapted it with Ben Vanstone writing the adaptation.
And he'd worked on Merlin, which is a show that one day we may get to, I suppose, Brian.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Directed for the screen by Tom Harper, who also had worked on Misfits. He did 4 episodes of Misfits, so there's a connection there. And he would go on after this to direct the sequel to the Hammer film version of The Woman in Black. And I confess, I've not seen the sequel.
I haven't seen that one either, but interesting connection and interesting that he did some theatrical direction as well as television.
Now, we've got music for the show composed by Philip Miller, although I'll say there's also a fair bit of versions of popular Christmas songs in the soundtrack as well. And interestingly, I'm not sure when they filmed this in 2011, but they took the production to Cape Town, South Africa. That gives us a rather sunny version of London town in the winter, Brian, particularly with a rather sunny Cape Town University campus standing in for Professor Mildeye's institution and for some other parts of London. This is obviously a thing at the time with productions going to Cape Town. I presume there was financial advantages in doing so, but it did give us some slightly sunny versions of Britain. We talked about that, I think, in Noughts and Crosses.
Yes, we did. There is a similar thing going on there with a surprisingly sunny Great Britain. They built the Borrower's Town and used green screen backdrops to composite in the larger world of the beans, the human beans, as they call them, around it. So as you have in any production of The Borrowers, there were lots of fun, oversized props for things that the borrowers had taken. So you have these interesting things playing with scale.
Yeah, always fun. I imagine the props department have great fun making giant pencils or giant buttons and things like that.
Yeah.
And also the costume department, you have to dress the borrowers in clothes that look like they're made from fragments and strange bits and pieces from the bean world.
Yes, that's right.
Now, I've said that this film is set at Christmas. There's an advent calendar that sort of counts down the days towards Christmas in a very traditional fashion, a very seasonal title sequence with a Christmas song. And also, when the clocks get into the borrower's town, and there is quite, as you said, Brian, there's quite a well-developed borrower's town, which is a bit of a mystery as to why the clocks didn't interact with it beforehand. But I noted at one point that they appear to have borrowed, for this town, a human-sized laptop on which they're able to obviously show films. And so you see borrowers, as if they're sitting in a cinema, watching the film Love Actually, which is another Christmas institution. So some referential stuff going on there, Brian.
Yes, I love that a laptop turns into a cinema or a movie theater for the borrowers. That was quite clever. The Borrowers was first broadcast on BBC One at 7:30 p.m. on December 26th of 2011, and it was repeated at Christmas time in 2015 as well.
So, if we have intrigued you with another version of The Borrowers, you can watch this show, because here in Region 2, it is available on a DVD release, which came from the BBC and Playback Media. That came out the following year, 2012, has obviously the film. It has one behind-the-scenes featurette with interviews with cast and crew. Not a very long behind-the-scenes and not packed with information. It is sort of fairly standard stuff for a short behind-the-scenes feature, and that's the only extra. But the good news about this is that DVD is available for a fiver at the moment, so it's a nice, cheap one to watch. I couldn't find it streaming anywhere at the moment, but it is available to rent on cinemaparadiso.co.uk. So over here in Region 2, we're all right. We can get to see this one quite cheaply and easily. In Region 1, Brian?
In Region 1, we have a DVD called The Borrowers 2 Movie Family Fun Pack, which includes the 1997 movie of The Borrowers and also this 2011 version of The Borrowers. Hours, which I saw on Amazon for $5 US or $10 Canadian. So this is available region one and for a very good deal as well. So that was nice.
Nice cheap prices on this one on both sides of the Atlantic.
Yeah, nice. I will also note that the original books and several other film and television versions are also widely available.
Excellent stuff. So that will do us for the first part. Come back next time when we're going to focus a little on the differences between this version and the more classic approaches to the source material. And we'll perhaps muse for a moment on the enduring attraction of the idea of little people encountering a world of giants.
Absolutely. And we will rate and review the DVD release and share our recommendations. Until then, you can find all of our episodes at BritishInvaders.com, including the ones that are no longer in the podcast feed. And if you search for British Invaders on Facebook, you can find our group there. And you can follow us on Threads and on Instagram. We are at British_Invaders_podcast on both of those platforms.
We are indeed. If you do social media, do say hello and let us know what you think. And do say hello at the Voice of Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com. British Invaders is a proud member of the Voice of Geeks, VogNetwork.com.
Absolutely. So thank you for listening. And this is Brian from Canada signing off.
Yes, thank you very much. Until next time, Eamon in England also signing off.